to be transfigured. We need to be transformed, changed, metamorphosized, transmogrified. Those are really big words. I love big words, especially that last one, transmogrified. It comes from my favorite comic strip character, Calvin and Hobbes. Calvin was a real imp. I just loved Calvin and Hobbes, and he had a big cardboard box that he labeled transmogrifier. And he put a control panel on the side of it, and then he said, you just dial in monster, and you get inside, and hit a button, and zap, you're a monster. You're transmogrified. And so he did that, and out he came, a three-headed monster. And he goes down the hall of his house, banging on the walls. He goes into the kitchen, and he rises up to eat his mother, and his mother turns and says, Calvin, wash your hands for dinner. And so the great big three-headed Calvin monster turns around, head slumped, and goes up the hall to wash his hands. Transmogrify, transform, metamorphosis, the word for transfiguration. The word for transfiguration in Greek is the word from which we get the word metamorphosis. It means to change your form, to change your exterior appearance, to change or transform what you look like, what you sound like, how you appear, how you reflect light. In this story today, we see Jesus on the Mount Tabor. Jesus on Mount Tabor being transfigured in the midst of the disciples. Like a stained glass window, during the day, light shines through it and you can see what the window depicts. At night, however, a stained glass window, you can't really see. The images on the window are dimmed. You can't tell what it is. But when light shines through it in the daytime, you can see the image of the stained glass window as light comes through it. Jesus, during his life, during the day, people would encounter him and it would be like looking at a stained glass window without light behind. He was just like a regular human being. You would encounter him, you could talk with him, you could eat with him, you could laugh and cry with him, and it was like being with a regular person. But then on the Mount of Transfiguration, it was as if the light of God shines forth from the presence of Christ Jesus, and he is fluorescing with the light of the divine presence. The Transfiguration image is a powerful one in Christian faith. Just like the virgin birth and just like the resurrection, it's one of the very few miracles in Scripture that occurs to Jesus himself. Usually Jesus is working miracles for others. Here we find Jesus being transfigured, transformed, metamorphosized for us to see the presence of God in him. For us to see and know that God is in Christ for us. The message of the Transfiguration gives us hope. Gives us the ability to expect that we too will be transformed. We too will be transfigured so that we might fluoresce and be like a stained glass window. When others look at us, they might see the light and the love and the presence of God. We deal with these ideas sometimes cavalierly in the church. We seem to think that, you know, this is so common, this is a message we've heard many times, it's not that important, is it? Or it's just an interesting myth and image, and we can't really get our brains around it. We can't really accept it. And the skeptic will say, this was just a vision or a dream. In reality, it is an opportunity to see and know the real presence of God in our midst and to become like Christ, the light of the world, to become like Christ, the light of God's love for all, to become like Christ, a reminder of the presence of God. We deal with transforming things all the time. We deal with it even in the sacrament of Holy Communion. In addition to Calvin and Hobbes, one of my favorite cartoons, it involves Bugs Bunny. Bugs Bunny is in Transylvania, and he's going to stay at Count Dracula's castle. And he's waiting, trying to go to bed, and he's going through books on magic words and phrases. And he comes along several of the most common magic words and phrases, like abracadabra and hocus pocus. And he would say abracadabra and something would change. And then he would say hocus pocus and it would change back. And he started getting playful and he would say like things like pocus cadabra or cadabra pocus and make things do weird things. It's just like in the TV movies and in the books of Harry Potter. You take your wand and you say Expelliarmus and you disarm your opponent, or Levi Corpus and it flies up into the air. All sorts of weird things you can do with magic. Some of us treat even the things of God as if it's magic. We often do that when we pray. We think that by praying in a certain way, we can cause God, we can force God to give us something. When in reality, if we are true to ourselves, if we're true to our faith, we realize that only when our prayers are in accord with God's will do we get what we ask for. That's tough to recognize. It's tough to accept. But it's not always in God's will what we desire. We treat especially the mysteries of the faith like magic. Look at the table of the Lord. More discord, more fighting has occurred over the table of the Lord, its meaning, its practice, than any other place and event in the life of the church. The table of the Lord, Holy Communion, the Eucharist, has been the focus for more strife and fighting than anything else in the history of the church. It's a shame, because at the table of the Lord, we have the preeminent example of the presence of Christ Jesus, our Lord, in our midst. And yet we fight over this as Christians. Even within the same denomination, we are at war over this subject. I've been teaching this holy mystery study, the Methodist understanding of Holy Communion, for the past 6 years across the denomination. And it's been a fascinating experience to see how Methodists across United Methodism understand or don't understand the sacrament of Holy Communion. And one of the things I hear when I go to the South is, and let me see if I can get the accent right, oh, we don't have to look at that Catholic thing again, do we? Or when I go to the West Coast, it's, oh, this is just ancient stuff. Find something modern to look at. I can't believe it, and yet I hear it frequently. A refusal, a fear of approaching the things of God, the sacrament like Holy Communion. And it comes from misunderstanding its meaning. In the Roman Catholic Church, in the Latin Mass, the words of institution have served as the basis from which, when they mess with it, they come up with the word hocus pocus. Hoc est enim corpus meum. This is my body. Is a proclamation of the reality that goes beyond our vision, that goes beyond our understanding, that goes beyond the everyday experience of bread and wine, and proclaims, this is my body, this is the body of Christ. Now, some people looking at that think that's magic, a magic phrase. You say it, and bap, it becomes it. No. It is proclaimed as a statement of faith. Just as when I pray that prayer in English, this is my body, this is my blood. When I pray the consecration, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on this gift of bread and wine, make it be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. That's not a magic phrase, my friends. It's a proclamation of faith. That the Holy Spirit will pour out a mysterious working here. And that when we come and eat and drink with eyes of faith, with ears of faith, with hearts of faith, with hands of faith, when we come and when we receive the bread and the cup in faith, God's real presence, the real presence of Jesus, the body and blood of our Lord, the transforming presence of God will come into us and transmogrify, transform, transfigure us. So that when others look at us, they might know and experience the love of God. My friends, when we come to the table of the Lord, we're coming not to a magic trick. We're coming to a sacrament. We're coming to a means of grace. We're coming to an act of faith, trusting in the Word of God, trusting in the promises of Christ, that when we eat and drink, when we feast on His presence, we become one with each other and one with God in ministry to the whole world. Hoc est enim corpus meum is not a magic phrase. It's not a spell or an incantation. This is my body broken for you. It's a proclamation that we too, when we partake, are part of the one body of Christ. We need to be transfigured. We need to be transformed. We need to be metamorphosized. We need to be transmogrified, changed into the hands and the feet and the eyes and the ears and the lips of Christ, so that we can go out there and the world can see and know the love of God. My sisters and brothers, Christ Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration fluoresced with the love of God. The disciples saw it, and Peter tried to become involved. Let's build a shrine here. Let's build three places, three dwelling places for you and for Moses and for Elijah. And God says, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to Him." We're called to listen to the transfigured one, to the one who fluoresces with the love of God for the whole world. We're called to come to the table of the Lord and be transfigured here. Be changed to become the light of the world. All of us bring broken bits, broken lives, broken families, broken spirits, broken minds, broken hearts, broken dreams, our fears, our concerns. We all bring our bits to the table of the Lord. And here, as we eat and drink, God transforms, transfigures us and our broken bits into the body of Christ. Come and have your substance, your broken bits, transformed today. Come and eat and drink with faith, and allow the transfigured one to transfigure you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2011 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.